We are continuing our series on the marks of a true disciple. This is actually part three. Now, it's been a couple weeks since we've been through this because we had Easter. So let me refresh your memory on what we have learned in our series on discipleship. First of all, we started this discipleship series. We learned that the Holy Spirit indwells everyone that puts their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, asking Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit inside of you. He comes and dwells with you. Now, we learn that the Holy Spirit, when He comes and dwells in us, He creates desires in us for fulfilling God's plan. He creates desires in us to fulfill the plan of God. Now, these desires are like this. You would want to communicate the gospel to the world. Now, everyone that accepts Christ as their Savior gets a burden from the Holy Spirit that says, I want to tell others about this wonderful gift from God that this wonderful Savior has done for me. I want others to know it. It's so wonderful. I want everyone to know that. So Holy Spirit creates this desire to tell others about Jesus Christ. Not only that, the Holy Spirit creates a desire that you would want to communicate with Him in prayer. God wants to communicate with you, and He wants you to communicate with Him. And so the Holy Spirit works in our heart and even works in our minds to tell us what we should say to the Lord. And He communicates. So there, anyone that is truly a disciple of God is going to want to communicate with Him. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. He helps us communicate with Him in prayer. And He creates this desire to pray. So we need to understand that. Not only that, you would want Him to communicate with you through His Word. You know, when I first became a Christian, I started to understand that there was this desire for me to read the Word of God, the Bible. And I enjoyed reading it because God would speak to my heart every time I read it. That's still the case today. When I read the Word of God, He speaks to me. And I desire for that. I long for Him to speak to me. So we need to see that the Holy Spirit, when He works in us, He's going to work in us in a way that we want to communicate with Him and that we want Him to communicate with us through His Word. Another desire is that you would communicate His love and good works to other believers. We see that we're here today so that we can communicate the love of God to others and do good deeds for the brethren, for the other Christians in our church and in our lives. So, this is important that we remember that that's one of the first things the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer. This is a mark of a disciple, someone that has these desires in their heart. Now, in part two of our series, we learn that the Holy Spirit will work to produce spiritual fruit in the disciple. Now, these fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, these are all fruits of the Spirit. So, if we see that the Lord is working in our lives, we're going to see these fruits. We're going to see that we love like Jesus loved. Not just a selfish love, but a sacrificial love. We're going to see a joy in our heart. Even though things may not be going wonderful in our lives, we still have this joy in our heart. How can that be? Because the Lord works in our hearts. And so on and so forth. Kindness and goodness and gentleness. Self-control. Being able to overcome things in your life that you never thought you could. But through the Holy Spirit's power and His grace working in you, you're able to. So these fruits of the Spirit are produced in the disciple of the Lord. Now today, we will see that the disciple of Jesus Christ is given gifts or abilities by the Holy Spirit for use in His service. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at today. That's why we're going to go through Romans 12. Now, there's other passages besides Romans 12 that speak about spiritual gifts. I want to give you a little overview of those before we get into Romans chapter 12. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are different gifts, but they all come from God and are to be used to profit everyone. Okay? There's different gifts, but they all come from God and they are all to be used to profit everyone in the body. Now, why? Because we are to operate as a body. It says that, hey, the eye can't operate by itself. It needs a brain, right? And we can't, even if you had a mind, but you didn't have a body or hands to function and perform the tasks that your mind are thinking about, then it's no good. So we're to function as a body, okay? And we're to operate as a body. Each one of us will have certain abilities, but those abilities must be used in unison with others that have different abilities, so our whole body operates together. Okay? Now, according to Ephesians chapter 4, when we operate as a body using our Holy Spirit given abilities for God's service, we will see the body of Christ grow and it will be edified in love. Now, that's when you know that we are all using our gifts the way we ought to, and we're using our abilities the way we ought to, and we're functioning together as we ought to, the body of Christ will grow. It will grow spiritually, and it will probably grow numerically. And not only that, we will edify one another in love. You will feel the love of Christ when you walk into the church, when you're around church people. You'll feel the love of Christ, and you will be edified. You will be lifted up and encouraged to live for the Lord. That's what we want to see in our church, isn't it? That's what we want people to feel when they come in. We want them to feel the love of God. We want them to feel the love we have for each other and the love we have for them and help them grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians tells us will happen if we use our abilities and gifts in unison with everyone else and their abilities. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 12. We'll start with verse 3. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we have this passage in the middle of our bulletins. Verse 3 says this. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which cling to what is good." Now, in every passage of Scripture that deals with the gifts, there is a dealing with humility and unity. In each passage that talks about spiritual gifts, humility and unity are mentioned. Now, There's a reason for that. The reason is this. People, in their minds, tend to equate certain abilities or certain tasks that come because of those abilities with more importance than other tasks or abilities. And then they start getting envious of those who get certain tasks that they don't have. For instance, someone with the gift of administration might be on the advisory committee. Someone with the gift of service may be baking cakes for our fellowship. Okay? Now, each one of those tasks is important. Now, if you ask me, the cake is way more important than the advice, okay? but it may be that someone says, you know, how come this person gets to influence decisions in the church, and all I get to do is bake cake? Well, understand something. If you bake the right cake, you'll have a lot of influence in this church, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Neither one of those should have a level of importance in our thinking, okay? Because when they do, it can stir up envy, and where there's envy comes strife. And that's not going to work. That's why there's so much emphasis here on humility. How do you fight envy? Through humility. When we all think of ourselves as not as good as, if we all think of others better than ourselves, and we have a humble attitude about us, then we won't say, hey, I should be making the decision, or I should have this task, why am I doing this? That won't be in there, okay? And we'll look at the tasks that we have, that God's given us, and we'll accept them with a humble heart and a willingness to do those things, okay? So understand that. This is why we need to address humility before we address the gifts. And this is why this passage actually addresses humility before the gifts are dealt with. Look at verse 3. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me. Then look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, why should we be humble about the gifts that God gives us or the tasks that come along with those gifts? Because it's only by God's grace that we have them. Now, that means it's not because of your merit that we get these abilities or we're delegated responsibilities according to them. It's by God's grace that we get these. So none of us has any reason to be proud whether we get to speak on Sunday morning, whether we get to teach in the Sunday school, whether we get to do any be in charge of anything else in our church. There shouldn't be a pride there. Why? Because it's only by God's grace that you even have any ability to do that. Okay? So remember that. Then look at verse 3 again. It says, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So God gives it. Okay? There's no you being, you earning your gift, okay? God gives this gift to you, not based on your merit, but based on His grace, and it's given to you. It's not because you're just a wonderful person, okay? So we need to understand that. Now, not only that, we are made different. Look at verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, if you have a gift of administration, you were made like a brain, okay? If you have the gift of service, You were made like hands or feet. Guess what? You were made different. You were made different. Okay? It has nothing to do with how great you are. You were made different. Okay? And so, but remember, the brain is useless without hands to tell how to function. Right? The hands are useless unless the brain is sending a message to the hands on what to do. So remember that. We were made different. And then look at verse 5. It says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one another. Finally, we have to rely on others. Understand that. If you get pride in your heart about how wonderful you are and all your talents and abilities, just remember something. You can't operate the way God wants you to by yourself. You have to have others for you to function the way you're supposed to. Okay? So we all have to rely on one another. If someone's, this is just a side note. If you think that you can function in the Christian life the way you ought to and not come to church, you've got issues. Because that's not the case. You need to be a part of a church, of a body, because you can't do anything on your own. You need others. This makes it very clear. If we're going to function and do the plan of God and fulfill His purpose in our lives, it has to be with others. Okay? So, remember that. So, regardless of the abilities God has given us, we are not better than any other person in the church, and we need to remember that. I don't want to hear, oh, so-and-so gets to do this. They must like him or her better. Has nothing to do with that. Understand that. We're looking to help people take their God-given abilities and talents and use them in the body of Christ. That's it. Understand that. So this is why we deal with humility first. Now, as we look at this passage, I want us to see what our attitude should be, humble, and then work with others in the church. I also want us to see that God has given each Christian at least one of these gifts listed here in Romans 12. Therefore, as we discuss each gift, I want you to ask God to reveal which one He has given to you and how you can use it to help serve the Lord in His church. Okay? Now, that's what we need to do. Now, we're not going to be able to go through them all today. Like I said, I'm going to cut this thing like bologna. Next week, we'll do it. We'd be here a lot longer than we intend to be here if I went through all of them today. However, as we go through these, I want you to listen carefully to them and ask the Lord to reveal to you which one is predominant in your life. Now, with me, I got a little bit of one, but I know which one is predominant in my life. Okay? You may have more than one, but there'll be one that really stands out that you can say, okay, this is me. This is what God has given to me, okay? So I want you to understand that, okay? So let's look at these see which ones God has given to us. Now, as we look at these, there's one more thing I want you to remember. These gifts must be guarded against our sinful nature. These gifts are given for good, okay? But they can also be used in a fleshly manner if we give over to our sinful nature and use them that way. So we're going to kind of contrast that as we look at these. The first one is prophecy. Look at verse 6. It says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy in the Old Testament, or a prophet in the Old Testament is someone who proclaims the truth and exposes sin. We were talking about Nathan this morning in Sunday school and how he proclaimed the truth to David and exposed his sin. Therefore, a person with the gift of prophecy is someone inclined to tell others the truth of the gospel and reveal sinful behavior. Now, the Apostle Peter was an excellent example of someone with the gift of prophecy. In his first sermon, we see him use several scriptures to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see him expose sin to the people when he said, "By wicked hands you have crucified and slain Jesus." So here's a man who was gifted with the gift of prophecy, and he uses that gift just the way it's supposed to be used. Proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the truth to these folks, regardless of the political circumstances of the day, and he exposed their sin. Now, this is an important gift in the church, and it can be used in a wonderful way in the one who has this gift. First of all, there is this attention to holiness. The person with this gift is always making sure that what they are doing or what they're involved in is totally right. There's no wrong in it. This is important for us to have people like this in the church so that we don't get deceived by sin. They're able to see sin that we might not see. They're also able to see how sin affects someone and how it affects others. Okay? They're able to look at someone's life and say, you know what? I can see this in their lives and how it's going to destroy them and how it's going to hurt the ones they love as well. There's this gift of prophecy where people can look at someone's life and see their sins and be able to see how it's going to affect them negatively. So we need people like that in the church. Not only is there this ability to see someone else's sin and how it can negatively affect them, but there's this ability to stand for truth in the face of opposition. You know, this is the person that doesn't have any problem exposing sin and facing those who are in opposition to it. They don't have any problem doing that. That's a wonderful gift to have. We need people like that, especially in our day today, where we're so tempted to compromise on everything in our society and in church. We need people that are attentive to holiness in the church. Otherwise, the church turns into a gambling casino or something worse, right? We need that. We need people like that. However, like I said, these gifts can be used in a wrong manner, too. When we give over to the flesh, when we give over to our sinful nature, this gift can be used in a wrong way. Now, how can that be used in a wrong way? Having a condemning attitude. You know, when you see someone and you get to know them and you're clearly seeing their sin, you need to not have a condemning attitude. Guess what? Every one of us has sin. Every one of us has sin in our lives. You're able to see their sin well. The funny thing about someone with this is they can see sin in others, but sometimes they don't see it so well in themselves. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, we do not need to have a condemning attitude. In other words, oh, that person is, he's terrible. He's terrible. You know, and all he did was, you know, take one more trout than he was supposed to. I'm just kidding. We didn't take one more. I didn't take one more trout than I was supposed to yesterday. I only caught one. So. But you understand what I'm saying? Someone with this gift could be condemning in their attitude. We don't want that. Not only that, they only see the bad in people. You know, when you have this kind of, when you have this gift, you may be inclined to only see the bad in people. Remember, there's good in people too, okay? And you may not be able to see it too well, but remember that, okay? Remember not to just see the bad in people. And then being overly critical. You know, you see sin in people and you constantly criticize them. And every time they're around you, you're criticizing them. Pretty soon you don't have a ministry to them. Because no one wants to be around somebody that is constantly criticizing them. Okay? So, that is the gift of prophecy. That gift can be used in a wonderful way. Let's remember to use it in a wonderful way. Now, the next gift is ministry. Look what it says in verse 7. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. Now, ministry or service probably is a better term, will give us a better definition in our minds. The word here for ministry means serving. Therefore, a person with the gift of ministry is someone inclined to helping others and meeting their needs. Now, here's some of the good characteristics of someone who is led by the Spirit and has this gift in their lives. The ability to see needs before others. Now, I've talked to Mr. Warner about this, so he knows that I think he's got the gift of serving. He is so good at seeing needs before I do. He'll walk into the fellowship hall and he'll start checking things out. Okay, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. We need to go buy towels. You know, we need to get napkins. We need to get this stuff. And he's on it before I can even think about it, right? He's got the gift of service, the ability to see needs before others. He looks at someone that may need help walking in through the door to get to the sanctuary. He's doing that. We have others like that as well. They have that ability to see needs in others. That is a wonderful gift. And when it's used the way it should be, it is awesome. And it's a great blessing. A willingness to work hard is another characteristic. So willing to just work hard, do whatever needs to be done to serve the Lord. Frank Brazy, I think he has the gift of service. Every Saturday when we were building this building, every Saturday was Frank's day off, and Frank was here working on the building. He didn't mind, and he worked hard, too. I mean, he worked real hard. And you can tell, you know, he has a gift of service. Frank, if you didn't know, that's your gift, okay? The gift of service, you know, and this is someone who enjoys helping others. You know, when they get to help somebody, they're happy. When they get to help somebody, they're happy. Now, you can see how wonderful a blessing people with this gift can be in the body of Christ. And we need them. Now, this gift can be used in a bad way or a fleshly way as well. People that have this gift tend to get frustrated with others' lack of participation. You know, they're working hard. They're trying to get things done in the church or get things done. And they look around and others aren't doing or working as hard as they are. And they can get frustrated with that. And we need to see that. If you have that gift, understand, most people aren't going to see what you see needs to be done. And most of the time, they're not going to work as hard as you. Okay? That's just one of those facts that we need to keep in mind. And so remember that as you serve the Lord with this gift. And then you may get upset with the lack of gratefulness. You know, you've done all this hard work and you're serving and you're trying to do all you can and no one says thank you. Now, that can hurt. That can hurt. I understand that. But don't let that make you bitter. That's, you know, that's giving into the flesh, okay? That's not an attitude that we want to have. And then working too much. You know, people with the gift of service, sometimes they burn themselves out. We had some friends in college that were like this. They could never say no to anything that someone asked them to do. They were running around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to do all these things, and they were burning themselves out. Okay? So we need to remember that. Hey, don't do too much. Okay? Don't do too much. Now, there's one more thing I'll deal with today, and then one more gift we'll deal with today, and then we'll end for today. Now, the gift of teaching. He who teaches in teaching. Now, someone with the gift of teaching is able to convey information in a way that people can understand and learn. They can convey information in a way that people can understand and learn. My pastor, my former pastor, Dave Nobles in Woodbridge, Virginia, he had the gift of teaching. He was able to explain the Bible in a way that people could understand and they could learn. Many times I heard this testimony from people that had been under his preaching. I learned so much under his preaching. That is a wonderful gift, and we certainly need that in the church. Now, someone with this gift is going to make sure information is accurate. You know, someone with this kind of gift, they're going to verify their sources. You know, when I get prepared for a sermon, I use commentaries and try and make sure I've got everything correct. But a guy that has this gift, he's going to verify, he's going to look on those references, okay, at the bottom of each page that these people do, and he's going to go read their books, and he's going to do that kind of stuff. He's really going to research to make sure the information that he's conveying to someone is accurate, okay, and comes from an accurate source. Someone with this gift covers all the aspects of the truth being taught. You know, sometimes I'll give a general principle for us to absorb. Someone with the gift of teaching, they'll give the general principle and then explain why that principle is true, explain every detail of that principle. This has an ability to break down everything that is being taught and cover all the aspects of that teaching. And then they're easy to follow. Someone with this ability, if you looked at their notes, it'd be perfect, easy to follow. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3 kind of thing, right? That's the kind of thing it would be. I love commentaries like that, because I can easily see what the guy is saying instead of just a long drone pages of paragraphs that, you know, you got to dredge through. I love that stuff. Okay, so now there's some bad aspects to this if we're not careful. One is being proud of knowledge. You know, someone that has the gift of teaching, you walk into their office and they've got tons and tons of books, just tons and tons of books, and they'll spend hours reading in their office. That's a wonderful thing, as long as they don't get puffed up. You know, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says that knowledge puffs up, okay? So if we aren't careful, knowledge, all that knowledge, can make us proud in our heart, and we don't want that. And one of the things that happens with someone with the gift of teaching, if they're not careful, is they talk too much when they're speaking. They've got all this information that they want to convey, and it's a boatload of information, and they just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, right? And then, you know, it's hard to endure that. I understand. That's why I'm going to stop talking here in a minute, okay? So, let's see, though, that we need people like that, right? To help us learn truth in a way that's easy for us. And to do all that research beforehand so that we know that what we're learning is accurate. Okay? It's a wonderful gift. Wonderful gift. So, this is just three of the gifts. We'll go over the rest next week. And I hope you're learning some things about spiritual gifts and how they work in the church and what gift you may have. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.